From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Zoe Gruskin with a statewide news update. A desirable piece of waterfront property in downtown Juneau may have a new private owner, despite the city and borough of Juneau's efforts. If the sale goes through, the city will have to decide whether to work with the new property owner to achieve its long-term goals for waterfront development. KTOO's Adeline Baxter has more.
By the time staff from the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority finished opening the sealed bids Monday morning, a clear winner had emerged: Norwegian Cruise Lines with an offer of $20 million. That's almost $16 million more than the city and borough of Juneau's bid.
I think it's fair to say that that's a fairly shocking bid. I don't know that I've ever seen a property sell for six times the appraised value.
That's city manager Rory Watt. He knew private interests were eyeing the 2.9-acre parcel when the city sent in its bid. But he argued that the subport is one of the last remaining pieces of undeveloped property on Juneau's waterfront. He feels it's crucial to the city's plans for long-term development. Another would-be developer who came up short was John Binkley. He's the outgoing president of Cruise Lines International Association Alaska, an industry group representing cruise interests. Binkley's family business, Godspeed Inc., bid $12.8 million.
When you look at the waterfront in Juneau, that's really critical for the next 50 years of growth in Juneau, and we wanted to be a part of that.
Binkley said they were hoping to partner with the city and borough of Juneau if they won the bidding. He was also surprised by the outcome. Wynn Menifee is the trust's executive director. After reviewing records, he said Norwegian's $20 million bid appears to be the highest offer the trust has ever received in a land auction.
We knew this was a unique and valuable asset, and we're pleased that the process that we use to determine how to sell this and when to sell it is bringing in proceeds that will support the work of the trust today and well into the future.
Some of the money the trust earns from land sales is invested. The rest is used to fund statewide programs that address things like mental illness and substance abuse. Norwegian's bid is still tentative. The Miami-based cruise company has 15 days to put down a deposit and sign a purchase and sale agreement. If for some reason that doesn't happen, the trust will take the offer of the second highest bidder, Royal Caribbean. In a statement, Norwegian says it looks forward to engaging with the city to work on a plan for the land. Watt says the city may be open to collaboration, but Juneau also has its own plans for how to develop its waterfront.
Obviously, since it's a cruise ship company, my guess is they have ideas and plans. Now, whether those mesh with the community's ideas and plans has yet to be seen.
In Juneau, I'm Adeline Baxter.
Holland America Line will pay the state a $17,000 fine a year after one of its cruise ship's holding tanks leaked gray water into Glacier Bay. The cruise ship Westerdam was visiting the national park on September 11, 2018, when a crew member mistakenly opened the wrong valve. That's according to the state's notice of violation. About 22,500 gallons of untreated water escaped into the national park. The discharge lasted about 25 minutes and was reported to state authorities. Holland America, a subsidiary of Carnival Corporation, didn't respond to requests for comment. Gray water is untreated runoff, usually from cleaning and kitchen use. It's less hazardous than wastewater containing human waste. Cruise ships are prohibited from discharging anything within park boundaries. The National Park Service also fined the cruise line $250 over the incident. A public comment period is ending soon on proposed logging, recreation, and stream work on the Tongass National Forest near Petersburg, Wrangell, and Cake. The Central Tongass Project could supply old-growth timber for Southeast's logging industry, but the U.S. Forest Service continues to face questions about a lack of specifics for its most recent logging plans. KFSK's Joe Vicknicki reports.
A draft environmental impact statement outlines potential logging and tree thinning, road building and culvert replacement, stream restoration, weed removal, along with cabin and trail work on the 3.7 million acres of the Petersburg and Wrangell Ranger districts of the Tongass. Acting Forest Supervisor Troy Heithecker explained the scope of the project during a public meeting in Petersburg.
It's covering four primary project areas. And those are watershed restoration, recreation management, vegetation management, and access management.
The document looks at logging up to 150 million board feet of old growth timber over the next 15 years. Another 80 million board feet of young growth could be cut over the same time. This project and one before it on Prince of Wales Island are being reviewed by the agency using a process called Conditions-Based NEPA. That stands for the National Environmental Policy Act, federal law requiring agencies to consider the impacts from uses of national forest land. Unlike past projects on the Tongass, the agency is listing all possible work, including a pool of possible timber harvest lands. It's not until after the agency has sought public comment and approved an environmental review that it decides the specifics on the work that will happen. That same approach, already used elsewhere in the nation, generated a lawsuit for the Prince of Wales project. Heitheker was asked whether this environmental impact statement would also wind up in court.
Depending on your interpretation of risky or controversial, pretty much any EIS, certainly involving timber harvest here on the Tongass, gets litigated. And so, at some level, we realize that we're probably going to end up there anyway. And so, changing the format to try and clear a longer time frame of NEPA, so that we're not just always in the planning phase, that we have some shelf stock, so to speak, in NEPA, and allows us to implement projects, is kind of why we're going with this method. So
this method basically outlines the broadest footprint the agency envisions could happen under this environmental document, but stakeholders and residents say it makes it more difficult to submit public comments. Heather Evoy is Indigenous Engagement Lead for the Southeast Alaska Conservation Council, a regional environmental organization headquartered in Juneau.
People care about the places they use for subsistence and how the action will affect those places in nearby habitat. Displaying one giant map covering millions of acres, of which nearly 43,000 acres may be logged anywhere within the over 82,000 acres suitable for logging, conveys next to nothing about what might actually happen, or how the project will impact wildlife and people, or what the alternatives might be to minimize those impacts.
Evoy spoke during a required hearing on subsistence use of deer and other plants and animals from the forest. The agency's analysis says the proposed logging may contribute to future restriction on subsistence hunting for deer. As part of the project, the agency is proposing to lower scenery standards set in the 2016 management plan for the Tongass. That's to allow more clear-cut logging in parts of the project area and make the logging more cost-effective for companies. The revenue from timber sales could pay for the recreation and habitat work, and that approach has prompted concerns over past logging on Prince of Wales Island and Kupernoff Island near Petersburg. That was also meant to fund this type of stewardship work. Heitheker repeated assurances from top Alaska region officials that problems with appraisal and oversight of timber sales have been fixed.
We're still in analysis here. We have no idea. We have an idea because there's only a few vessels for doing that sort of work, but we don't know if it's going to be stewardship contracting, straight timber sale contracts for that side, if we're going to do restoration through agreements with partners, or, you know, there's a lot of unknowns. What I would say as far as the press and media we've had on that, it's the same thing that the regional forester stated. We've had several, multiple audits now on this, and we have made adjustments and are ensuring that as we move forward that those are any of the issues that were brought up in those audits are accounted for and adjusted.
A 45-day comment period ends September 16th. A decision on the project could be out sometime next year. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicnicki.
It could end up being the best commercial Dungeness crab season in a decade in Southeast Alaska. KFSK's Angela Denning reports.
2017 saw one of the worst harvests in decades for Southeast Alaska Dungeness crab. Managers closed the season early. Things got back on track last summer with an average harvest of 3 million pounds of crab. This summer's harvest is 4.19 million pounds, well above the average.
It went really well this year.
Adam Messmer is a shellfish biologist with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
This 4.19 million pounds that we caught this summer is actually the second highest season we've had in 10 years, and we still have the fall season to go.
For the past decade, the highest harvest for Dungeness crab for the summer and fall seasons combined is about 5 million pounds. So, this year could end up being the highest harvest in a decade.
It very well could be. If we catch another 800,000 pounds, which is probably pretty likely in the fall, we'll meet or exceed the highest harvest for the last 10 years.
There was good participation in the summer fishery, with 186 permit holders reporting catches throughout Southeast Alaska. The summer Dungeness crab season ran from mid-June to mid-August. The total value of the fishery was $12.8 million. The average price was $3.06 a pound. The area in Southeast with the most harvest and the most participation was District 8 around Petersburg and Wrangell. 77 permit holders brought in just over 1 million pounds of crab there. District 11, including Stevens Passage near Juneau, saw a harvest of nearly 900,000 pounds by 35 permits. District 6, including Duncan Canal and the Level Island area, had 533,000 pounds with 44 permit holders. The fall fishery for Dungeness crab will open October 1st and run through November. Managers expect to see good harvests in that fishery as well. They make their projections according to commercial harvests in the first few weeks of the summer season. In Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning.
66 degrees with a few clouds in Juneau, low tonight around 48 degrees. You're listening to KTOO.